Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girls start much too late, all the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built two temples and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done, only the good die young. That's what I said.
Today on what I believe is a very exciting and practical topic, one in which I don't think you've ever heard before. And I call it emotional contagion. And I'll also tell you this much, you're suffering from emotional contagion, so you're going to want to listen. For those of you that are new to the show, yes, again, my name is Dr. Michael Wald. I've been nicknamed the Blood Detective because the show topics and the way in which I work with people towards their health involves teaching individuals how to be their own personal health advocates, literally speaking, becoming your own blood detective. And as the word detective implies, it means that you can learn a way of thinking and acting such that you can play the most active role in your health care so that eventually and ultimately you get what it is you want out of your life and your health, which is to enjoy life to its fullest. And it's difficult to enjoy life to its fullest when you're suffering from any number of symptoms, whether it's memory loss, intestinal problems, neurologic symptoms, cardiovascular problems, hormonal problems, inflammatory problems, cancer, arthritis, autoimmune disease, you name it. It's just tough to enjoy life fully when you're suffering from these issues. But today's concept is underlying every other concept I've ever spoken about because it involves our emotional states. So the first thing I'll do is to discuss what the term emotional contagion is. Now, a contagious disease is one that can be transmitted from one person to another, like the cold virus, the rhinovirus, or tuberculosis, for example, or E. coli or HIV, even H. pylori, Clostridium difficile, staph infections, strep infections. Once again, the list goes on and on that contagious conditions are, as the word would imply, contagious. They can spread from person to person. Well, guess what? Emotions are the same way. Now, you might be thinking, why would Dr. Wall, the blood detective who focuses on the use of natural healthcare, nutrition, lifestyle, the proper use of nutritional supplements and other types of natural healing techniques, why would he be speaking about emotions? Isn't that something for the psychiatrist or psychologist to do? Well, with not taking anything away from psychiatrists and psychologists, for example, or social workers, there isn't a health problem that a human being can be affected with, in my humble opinion, that is not either caused by emotional problems or affects our emotions. So on either end of the spectrum, emotions underlie the very fabric of our health potential. Emotions also are contagious. They're contagious just like infections are contagious. And how do you know that? Well, have you ever been upset and around people that you know, and after a while they'll turn to you and say, what's wrong? You seem down, or you walk into a room with friends and you're maybe not too lively and maybe your mind is preoccupied, you're emotionally a bit labile and just simply maybe even a little depressed. And after a while, the whole room takes on that mood. Maybe a better example, which you'll certainly agree with, is when you're excited about something and you are around people who you know or maybe that you don't know, and your excitement is contagious. People become excited as well. You know, when I give a talk on the radio or I speak with hundreds of healthcare providers at some medical and nutritional symposiums, the one thing I acknowledge is that it's important for me to engage the audience because the information can be received better with an audience that is involved emotionally. So if I either excite the audience or engage them in some way, the information that I present will generally, what's a good word, will land better in the minds of those listening. So I'm always trying to engage the audience. I'm looking around when I give live presentations, and if I see that a certain section of the audience, for example, is not paying attention, maybe they're starting to open their cell phones or what have you, what I'll do is I'll move on stage and I'll address that area of the audience, and I'll say, do you guys agree with this, or what are your thoughts about the use of the vitamin C flush or whatever the topic might be. I tend to direct myself with a certain level of energy in my voice. So now, over the radio, there is obviously the voice, but we're not seeing each other. And my point, though, is that even on the radio, let me take a step back. Now, listen to me in a certain way. If I were to just talk like this and say, there's a concept of emotional contagion I want to talk to you about, it's really important. You probably would have shut the radio off by now, so hang in there with me. The point is that I'm excited about every single topic because I'm excited about people getting healthy and staying healthy and fulfilling their lives and participating in their lives to the fullest extent. So in order to do that, we need to be aware that our emotions are contagious. We also can be affected by those around us. Not only are we the ones affecting others' moods with how we're behaving and acting, but they affect us. And this affect, this contagion, this emotional contagion is contagious. So one of the things I try to reinforce in the people that see me is to take more conscious control of their emotional state. And to oversimplify that for a second, for those of you not feeling well, let's say some of you are anxious. You might even have anxiety attacks. You find yourself with racing thoughts, maybe a light sweat or even a heavy sweat. You might feel palpitations or funny feelings in your chest. Your brain might interpret this as anxiety and stress. But you can say, stop, like literally say, stop, and then replace that anxiety, that reflexive anxiety reaction that you're thinking, something's wrong, this is stress. You can say, this is excitement. Your biochemistry for excitement is the same as anxiety, except anxiety kills and excitement can promote happiness and is a positive thought. So a simple acknowledgement of your state of being and relabeling it can change your emotions. If you change your emotions, you'll change your biochemistry. Now, I'm getting to the question I posed earlier. Why would Dr. Wall be talking about this concept of emotional contagion? What does that have to do with nutritional and natural health? Well, I think you're starting to see now it has everything to do with it, because emotions affect our chemistry, and chemistry affects our emotions. It simply is that way. Now, having said that, and I've defined contagion as something that can be transmitted from one individual to another, one group of people to another, and back to you. And the term emotions attached to emotional contagion means that your emotional stages, your emotional state, that is, can be transmitted as well. For those of you who are just joining me, my name is Dr. Michael Wald. I am the supervisor of nutrition at Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco. It's located about an hour north of New York City. For those of you who want to reach me with questions or to become a patient of mine, my number is 914-552-1442, and email me directly your questions or show topics at info@blooddetective.com. Our topic today is emotional contagion, and we've just established that your emotions can affect others. Others' emotions can affect you. Literally speaking, emotions are contagious. And this show topic is, how do we affect our emotions through natural health so that we change our chemistry and help our, perhaps our disease states, whether it's again cancer or rheumatoid arthritis or migraines, and or prevent health problems that are affected by our emotional states? Well, there's a number of ways of doing that. And it's essential, as everyone out there, as you the listener, to know that it's up to you to make this acknowledgement that your emotions affect your disease process, because sadly, traditional medicine and even certain segments of holistic healthcare utterly deny or simply do not tackle this important concept that whatever health problem you have, it can either have been caused or worsened or at least affects your emotions. The acknowledgement of that is not enough. So I'm going to be talking about some tools that you can use to change your emotional states, to change your biochemistry so that you feel better, your sense of well-being is better as your nutritional biochemistry changes. Now, I think that we all can agree that emotions are determined by a number of fundamental factors. Number one is your emotional sort of way of being. Let's call it your personality. Part of that is determined genetically. You may have a genetic predisposition for anxiety, a genetic predisposition for having a very steady, happy emotional state, or you might have a genetic predisposition for bipolar or whatever it is, or any personality type. But personality type is further affected by the environment. Like we said at the beginning of the show, we're affected by those around us. We're not just affected by people around us and their emotional states, but also by the physical environment. Is it winter? Is it summer? Is it fall? Some people become more depressed during the winter, suffering from seasonal affect disorder. We know that our environments play upon our emotions because they change our chemistry, and not necessarily in that order. So there's genetics that may underlie our emotional state of being, our personality, but now we've established that the environment, like the seasons of the year, for example, to oversimplify, will also have an effect upon our emotions. There are many other factors that certainly play upon our emotions that are not readily apparent. We don't know. We just don't know. But we can also say that our lifestyle affects our emotional states on top of our genetics and on top of the seasons. And the combination of all these things makes us form a certain personality type. So for me, I'm happiest in the fall. I just love the coolness of the air, the color of the trees and the leaves on the ground. I love everything about the fall. Other people are happiest emotionally during the summertime, and others have a lull in their emotional state during the wintertime. So we know that the environment affects our emotions. And we know that there are other factors like genetics and our lifestyle, which I'll get to in a minute, which can further affect and play upon our emotional states. You know, we're obviously animals. We're no different than any other animals on the planet Earth, in the sense that we reactively respond to many things emotionally. In other words, we might just find ourselves in a state of happiness without any reason. Or we might reflexively find ourselves panicky or depressed or anxious or excited. And this happens in the animal kingdom with other animals. Now, the difference with human beings, though, I would propose, is that as so-called quote-unquote higher order mammals and animals, we don't merely have to simply react to our environment. We don't simply have to react to danger in a certain way, or react to happiness in a certain way, or react to seasons in a certain way. We can say, hey, wait a second, I'm a higher order animal here. I am not going to let this bother me. I am not going to continue to be anxious and upset about this. I am going to choose to be positive. I am going to look at the glass half full rather than the glass half empty. My point is that within the concept of emotional contagion, we're not only affected by those around us. We do not only react reflexively like every other animals with emotional states, and without being cognizant that we can change those emotional states at times. But many of us do not take advantage of the fact that we can say, wait a second, let me create an emotional state that works for me, that allows me to live my life to its fullest. Part of the way of changing your emotions is, as I've said, acknowledge that you can. Acknowledge that you can say stop and make a conscious choice of how you're going to react, and you will change your biochemistry. But furthermore, and I haven't really said this directly yet, is to use your diet and also nutritional supplements to change your chemistry. Psychiatrists know, psychologists know, most of us are aware that medications like antidepressant medications, for example, serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs, they can, in some people, take a depressed person and make them happier, or at least helping them to deal with stress and coping better, altering their mood towards a more positive state. Now, I'm not at all implying that we should be taking drugs as our first choice to change our emotional states. For one, drugs statistically, particularly antidepressants, do not work most of the time. These medications can have side effects, but there is a segment of the population that reacts very well to medication. Putting that aside for a moment, there are a number of nutritional supplements and foods and lifestyle factors that can and do change our emotional states. And for some people, allowing them to thrive in life without relying on medications, such that we do not have to be victims to emotional contagion. Our internal chemistry telling us that life is no good, or telling us to accept this illness, or telling us that this is the way things are. We can choose a better, healthier state consciously, and then make the lifestyle choices that reinforce that emotional state, like eating cleanly and taking specific nutritional supplements. You know, what's interesting about our emotional states and this whole concept of emotional contagion is that we all have, metaphorically speaking, an emotional filter. For example, have you ever met an individual who's always just a pain in the neck, for lack of a better term? Right? We all know these sorts of individuals. And every time we see them, they're always a pain in the neck. They never seem to change. Well, I would suggest to you that they may have changed. And also they may be that pain in the neck because your filter is that they are a pain in the neck. You might be filtering their actions, their behaviors, their words through a filter of pain in the neck. Now, if that is your filter, how can this individual, even if they were once a pain in the neck, and let's just say for argument's sake they're not anymore, you could never acknowledge it because your filter hasn't changed. So what would you do in that case? How would you be happiest in life? By altering your emotional state and your filter so that your chemistry is better and the world and the people in it around you better fit what you want and what you need for a happy life. Well, you can consciously choose to change your filter. So for example, if I suggest to you, for the next 2 hours, take on the following emotional filter. Let's just call it emotional empathy, empathetic listening. So if you were to practice empathetic listening, that means that the way that you think would filter the world and all the people in it through empathy. So this person who just a few moments ago was a pain in your neck, let's say because they're rude, or you think that they don't listen, or that they take advantage of you, or they only care about themselves. But if we change our filter to empathy, that person might strike us quite differently. You might now think through the empathy filter, oh, this person is one who needs to connect with people. So that's why they talk a lot about themselves. Or maybe he or she talks about themselves because they want desperately for someone to listen to them, because maybe throughout their lives they felt that they weren't listened to and they weren't loved, for example. So you can see how a simple, quick, lightning-fast change in your emotional state, your emotional contagion, can literally change the world around you. Now, by changing your filter with this particular individual who went from a pain in the neck to not such a bad person, someone who is crying out for attention, for empathy, for love, you get to respond to them differently. And I can tell you, your chemistry from an empathetic state is a far healthier chemistry than a pain in the neck state. I think you get the point. So what we have said basically is that our emotions can run our lives, or we can have a say in our emotions to direct our lives, our moods, our biochemistry, and our health potential. Because negative emotions, fear, anxiety, closed-mindedness, for example, are disease promoters. They are associated with, inextricably associated with, a chemistry that can lead or promote disease. Some of our emotional predisposition is innate, it is reactive, it is genetically determined, but it can be altered. So, what are emotions? What are emotions? And before I attempt to answer that, for those of you again joining us, I'm Dr. Michael Wald. You're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. The show topic today is emotional contagion, how your fundamental emotions are determined by your biochemistry, and how your biochemistry determines your emotions, and how lifestyle, such as proper diet, exercise, choosing your emotional state, even nutritional supplements, can change your emotional state to one that is more positive, that then is reflected in the world, which is reflected upon you, and provides a happier life. So, I would be foolish to think that I could define emotions in any truly meaningful way, particularly in the time we have left for the show, other than describing some very basic things. Number one is, we have emotions. We just have to acknowledge that we have emotions. So they clearly exist. We know that emotions are partly biochemical, and physiologists and biochemists, even physicians, might define emotions as the expression of a sea of biochemical changes, a constellation of coordinated or incoordinated changes that take place in our brains specifically and in the form of neurotransmitters. And that is our emotions. I can tell you that although that definition has some truth in it, that emotions involve our biochemistry, emotions are not our biochemistry, although emotions are affected potentially by our biochemistry, and our biochemistry affects our emotions. Now, how do I know that emotions are not our biochemistry? Well, neurotransmitters like serotonin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, dopamine, these are neurotransmitters that are known to exist in the nervous system that do change their levels up or down, sometimes even sideways, that's a joke, up and down, and our emotions and many disease states are associated with certain directions that these neurotransmitters go. In bipolar, for example, there may be low serotonin levels, there may be low norepinephrine levels. In depression, there may be low serotonin levels. I think you get the point. I can tell you that emotions are not those biochemicals because of what is very obvious. And what is obvious is that those biochemicals, those neurotransmitters, they're just chemicals. Those chemicals precipitate reactions in the nerves of the brain and the nervous system. And those nervous system cells are called neurons. So those neurotransmitters are secreted in the nervous system, allowing for electrical impulses to happen in particular ways, which trigger or help come into being certain emotions or emotional states. But the emotional states themselves are something other than the chemistry. You know, if you think of your body, well, or another body, and let's say it was a dead body, if you were to perform an autopsy on that dead body, and you looked around all that you can in every cell, tissue, and organ system that you could, would you find that person's personality in there? Would you find their emotions in that dead body? Of course not. We know that there's something other than the physical body that is our being. And our being includes our emotions. So let's suffice it to say that emotions are not our biochemistry, but they are affected by our biochemistry. Our biochemistry triggers certain emotions, triggers a reaction which produces this miracle, which is our emotions. Now, what do we do with that practically? Now, this is, again, a show about nutrition, so I'm going to keep this now to what we can do physically in terms of lifestyle to affect our emotional states, acknowledging that there are things other than nutrition and lifestyle that affect our emotions. Now, I've been talking about neurotransmitters, and I mentioned that neurotransmitters are chemicals that are secreted in the brain between the nerve cells. If you take nerve cells, think of them as like pencils. If you put a pencil on a piece of paper and another pencil next to it but not touching it, and another pencil next to that one but not touching it, and you do that, you have a bunch of pencils lined up with some space in between them. The space in the nervous system is called the synapse, and the pencil are the neurons. When an electrical impulse, a happy impulse, runs down that pencil, which is a neuron, it needs that neurotransmitter in the space between the pencils to jump from one neuron to the next. So when there are problems with neurons, when neurons are either absent or too low or too high, we have changes in our emotional states that may be positive emotions or negative emotions. Now, how do we enhance the physical structure of the brain, which includes these neurons and neurotransmitters, so that we have the greatest potential to project a positive emotion, to project positive emotional contagion, so that your emotions are contagious in the world in a good way? Well, one is by acknowledging the need for proteins, fats, and carbohydrates in the diet. For example, proteins need to be broken down into individual amino acids. And amino acids from the diet are responsible for the production of approximately 80% of neurotransmitters in the brain. So we know that diet affects emotions for that very reason. Many patients that I have, though, do not absorb normally, particularly those over age 50. I've said it before in other shows that 60% of people over the age 50 do not absorb normally. They're not absorbing their proteins normally. If you do not absorb your proteins normally, you will have low neurotransmitters. If your genetics are such and the rest of your environment is such that whole combination of malabsorption of proteins and environment, that could predispose you to depression or apathy. And depression and apathy does not lead to the most fulfilling life. When I do urine testing of absorption and I find malabsorption present, I instruct my patients on the proper use of betaine hydrochloride, which is stomach acid, which can help absorb and break down proteins. And proteins are made up of amino acids, and amino acids make neurotransmitters. So there's a connection, or a connection, between diet, neurotransmitters, emotions, and how emotions affect our health. Other individuals require not stomach acid, but they require pancreatic enzymes to break down their proteins. Pancreatic enzymes break down proteins differently than stomach acid. And it's very important to do specialized testing of how and how much stomach acid and or pancreatic enzymes a person needs. And again, if you're over age 50, in my opinion, you need these things. And they can help promote a positive emotional state, a positive biochemistry, which reduces disease. Not to mention, you're fixing your malabsorption, meaning you're getting better nutrition, which builds up your brain and the rest of your body. When you do not have proper nutrition, your body breaks down, your brain breaks down, your emotions are affected. And what about the role of fats and emotional contagion? Well, without proper fats, the brain and nervous system is physically made. Its very structure is made mostly of fats, certain fatty acids like omega-3 fatty acids. Taking omega-3 fatty acids can improve mood, can improve the brain's biochemistry, and promote health. Except the amount and type and balance of the omega-3s should be based on your metabolic rate. And that is determined based on a test called a body composition test. Very simple, non-invasive test, which lets me know your metabolic rate, which tells me what percentage of you is muscle, water, and fat, and how much water is in and outside of your cells, so that I have a baseline so that when I give you digestive enzymes and dietary suggestions, it's based on those unique personalized factors. So we're talking about here how proteins, fats, and carbohydrates affect our emotions. We said that if proteins are low and you're malabsorbing them, you'll have low neurotransmitters that could lead to depression, that could just lead to feeling that life is just this way. Your health is just this way. There's nothing else you can do about it. It's untrue. A simple change in your biochemistry can open up all sorts of possibilities in terms of your health and well-being. The role of fats, we talked about fatty acids. They need the lipase enzyme and pancreatic enzymes. I generally use my product called Detox Absorb, which is a pharmaceutical grade protein, carbohydrate, and fat enzyme. You can find these products of mine at blooddetective.com under the supplements section. And also the role of carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are in all plants, including fruits and vegetables and grains. We don't have time to get into adverse, allergies to vegetables or fruits or gluten intolerance, but those are important factors that can definitely affect mood. Certainly gluten intolerance can, but gluten intolerance can be fixed. Celiac disease cannot be. Gluten intolerance can be fixed with the right combination of stomach acid and or pancreatic enzymes and even probiotics. Not just any pancreatic enzymes, not just any stomach acid or probiotics. The proper balance based on your chemistry, which is what we've been talking about this entire time. Now, when it comes to carbohydrates form in the body, among other things, serotonin, a key neurotransmitter for happiness. Ideal serotonin levels promote positive mood, sleep, and even help pain. Most of the serotonin in the body is not made in the brain. It's made in the gut, which is why, that saying, when people say you have a gut feeling about a thing, there's something to that. And you know, there was a very interesting quote by Plato that I'm going to tell you now. And it was basically, look not at the disease a person has, but the person that has the disease, which is saying that certain personality types, whether depression, anxiety, bipolar, apathetic, whatever it is, happy, that personality type determines the biochemistry, which determines the disease. In traditional medicine, doctors, by their training, by virtue of their training, ignore the personality type. Unless you're a personality type A and it's so obvious you're just a miserable person, or a type A anxiety person, then they'll say, listen, you know, type A, that'll give you more heart attacks and ulcers. That's about as detailed as medicine gets in acknowledging the emotional contagion concept, that emotions either cause or affected by disease, and they must be managed. They must be acknowledged. They can be consciously changed through thought processes, through lifestyle factors, and also by changing your diet and your biochemistry through the use of nutritional supplements. We know, for example, that probiotics are particularly good for helping depression, bipolar, anxiety. This is so well studied that, you know, the last time I went into the Museum of Natural History, not that long ago, they have an exhibit right on the wall, written on the wall. In the first sentence, they talk about probiotics and affecting emotional states. Something that is still, I predict, years if not decades off from being acknowledged by mainstream medicine. But listen, we don't have to be frustrated that medicine doesn't get it. We don't have to be upset that they have no training. We don't have to be upset that our doctors are not listening to us when we want to use nutrition and natural medicine, and they make us feel like fools and they tell us we're wrong. We can say, wait a minute, I am not a lower order animal, and my doctor is a person who is clearly has a bias and is closed-minded and basically who is ignorant. And I wish him or her well, and I choose natural health. This works for me. It makes sense for me. It feels right for me. And then you move on. I have had people suffer from years of anxiety and stress and anger even, and upset that their doctors aren't acknowledging this. Who cares? Why would we care so much? Now, on the other hand, I can tell you, if you present positive examples of how natural health has worked in your life to your doctor enough times, they might come around. Or here's what really will convince them. I've had patients, one patient in particular I'm thinking of, that had prostate cancer and was told that he was going to be dead probably within 6 months. That was 20 years ago, and he's quite alive and doing fine. And his doctors are saying, I don't know how that happened, but whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. We hear that a lot, don't we, folks? I'm thinking of another individual in his 70s who has a condition called pulmonary hypertension. And his doctor told him that there is no way that this can be cured without medication. And he had an invasive test, which was part of his monitoring of his pulmonary hypertension. And his doctor told him one day, I don't believe it, but you do not have pulmonary hypertension any longer. And the doctor said, guess what? Whatever it is you're doing, keep on doing it. They didn't call me and ask me what the protocol was, but I guess that's something. I filter that as, all I care about is how your health is doing. I am not particularly interested in what other doctors say. I don't need the approval of other doctors to acknowledge that my life has directed me in this way, where I know people can get well through nutrition and natural health in the mental health arena and also the physical health arena, because these arenas are not separate. And our bodies are, at least on one level, very physical, not to mention there's energetics in the background. So to summarize for a moment, we need betaine hydrochloride to help us digest our proteins. And most people over age 50 are not absorbing proteins, so they're going to have low neurotransmitter functions. And we need pancreatic enzymes, protein enzymes, and carbohydrate digesting enzymes, which you'll find in my detox absorb product, because we need fats to form the basic structure of our brain, vitamin E, A, melatonin, omega-3 fatty acids are fats that we need to absorb in our diets. We need pancreatic enzymes for that. We need probiotics. The probiotic of choice would be Superbugs probiotic, which is 100 billion CFUs. These are prescription level, very clean formulations. Generally, I have my patients begin with the doses on the bottles. But to provide a disclaimer, you should not attempt to take any nutritional supplements without proper guidance by a trained health professional. Now, in terms of our emotional filters, some of us have tried hard to change our emotional states. But sometimes we need to use biochemicals to change our chemistry to change our emotional states. And those biochemicals could be pharmaceuticals, but they can also be nutrients and foods. There is no specific diet that I could tell you that is the best to change any emotional state. As you can imagine, it's a very individual thing. Sometimes it's a ketogenic type of diet. Sometimes it's a diet that is gluten-free. Sometimes it's a diet that is vegan. The point is this. I determine food intake based on the needs of the person, the emotional needs, the biochemical needs of the person, and comparing tests to show that these changes are happening as that person is getting better on both a physical and emotional level. So changes in our nutrition in terms of diet, if I were to give you any guidelines at all, it would actually be, and these are generalizations, to minimize or eliminate gluten, to consume ketogenic nutrients, because a ketogenic diet, folks, is nearly impossible to do. You can keep whatever diet you're on now, and let's just assume it's reasonably healthy, and with nutritional supplements, promote ketogenesis. Ketogenesis is a state where the body and the brain is receiving and has a higher content of ketones, of ketone bodies. And ketones are the major fuel for the nervous system. Any neurologic problem or any health problem that involves the brain or the spinal cord or the peripheral nervous system could benefit from ketones, whether it's emotional states, neuropathies, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, dementia, you name it. So I use a product which you'll find at blooddetective.com called Keto Raspberry Supreme. It's the equivalent of multiple bowls of dehydrated raspberries, which are high in ketones. They also promote metabolic rate. And in terms of ketones, I might also use medium-chain triglyceride liquid, MCT oil. MCT oil has lots of benefits in the body. It helps retain lean organ mass. It helps fat burning. But it produces ketones differently than raspberries do, like the Keto Raspberry Supreme. And some people need ketone production in multiple ways. That way they can increase the probability of increasing those ketones so that the brain is more stable and more susceptible to positive emotions. And sometimes people will absorb as well as they can. They might even use enzymes or acids, as I've said, and absorb their amino acids and proteins from the diet, but they still need an extra boost beyond diet. So I use my amino complex, which is a special combination of amino acids that I put together to provide a baseline of very key essential amino acids. We need amino acids for immunity. We need them to make those neurotransmitters in the brain, all sorts of important functions. The next nutrient I consider of particular importance is called GABA, G-A-B-A, gamma aminobutyric acid. So gamma-aminobutyric acid tends to be low in individuals that have depression and anxiety and even bipolar. But even when it's normal, and even if you think that you're doing okay emotionally, sometimes your emotional states can be enhanced positively with additional GABA. I start with a baseline of 250 milligrams of GABA for most individuals, and I combine them with certain GABA synergists, which you'll find in my GABA supplement at blooddetective.com. The way that GABA works, we actually know how it works in the brain. It's very interesting. What it does is, now remember earlier I said that serotonin is a neurotransmitter that is low in depression, anxiety, and just low motivation. And serotonin, when serotonin is in the brain, it may not reach the receptors in the brain such that the receptors, they're like doorways that let the serotonin in. They may not be as sensitive as they once were to serotonin. GABA opens up the doorway, allowing for a greater sensitivity in the brain to serotonin. So in other words, GABA helps serotonin work, but GABA itself also works for calming the nervous system. And that means that GABA works on a part of the nervous system called the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system basically is the nervous system that's in charge of your healing. It's the one that gives you rest and sleep. If you are too charged up, you have a low functioning parasympathetic nervous system. And I can check that on a test called an autonomic nervous system test. Again, it's a non-invasive test that will very quickly tell me the balance between your parasympathetic healing nervous system and your sympathetic nervous system that's in charge of your heightened stress activity. Of course, both parts of the nervous system are required for health, but my point is there needs to be a balance for particular people. When I check the autonomic nervous system, this is one of the many tools that I use to help me prioritize how much magnesium does this person need for the parasympathetic nervous system? How much amino acids do they need? How much GABA do they need? How much melatonin do they need? How much omega-3s, antioxidants do they need? And when they are feeling great, is the autonomic nervous system test showing that improvement so we know it's real? It's not just some short-term change. So there's amino acids complete, there's GABA, there's omega-3 fats. I prefer krill oil. Krill oil is in what's called a triglyceride form. That does not raise your blood triglycerides, by the way. It actually lowers them. The triglyceride form of fatty acids in krill oil is important for positive moods, lowering cholesterol, reducing inflammation, and stabilizing brain activity. It's been studied in a number of mental emotional health problems. And then there's melatonin. Most people are familiar with melatonin for sleep. Now, if you say to me, like a lot of people say, oh, I take my melatonin, it doesn't work. Well, you may not be taking enough. But you might want to take melatonin with GABA at night, about a half an hour before sleep and away from food, because GABA enhances the effects of melatonin for sleep. But forget sleep for a moment. Although sleep promotes healthier mood, it enhances healing. But both melatonin and GABA promote positive mood even the next day. So GABA and melatonin, let me speak about melatonin for a moment. Melatonin levels are highest at night during sleep. If they're highest at night during sleep, that is promoting a certain brain chemistry. That is the natural way the brain works, right? And when you wake up, your melatonin levels are, they go way down, as it should be. But if you do not have proper melatonin secretion at night, your waking life may be affected adversely in terms of your mood and even your health, physical health. We know that melatonin at doses in the 10 to 12 milligram range is very strongly anti-cancer. It's anti-inflammatory. It can help gut problems and, of course, mood. And then there's folic acid. So folic acid you'll find in foliage, But most people do not activate folic acid properly. So I always provide folic acid in my B12 sublingual form, or my other supplement called active folic acid, which has a certain type of folic acid that's already broken down into its simplest form so that it helps brain chemistry. Folic acid increases serotonin. It works so well that there is a medication that's given as an add-on to antidepressants sometimes, and all it is super high dose folic acid. But I like using the biologically natural forms, like you'll find in my active folic acid, which has a certain amount of activated B6 and B12, because those should be taken together. They're very good for increasing serotonin, for promoting a positive mood, for lifting mood, and for all sorts of other health problems. Folic acid insufficiency, not even just deficiency, but just not having enough, is involved in many, many different cancerous processes, from lung cancer to colon cancer to breast cancer to neurologic diseases to mood changes to lots of autoimmune problems, neuropathies. So folic acid in the active form, my active folic acid, along with a certain amount of melatonin, GABA, krill, my amino acid complex, and the ketogenic nutrients like raspberry ketones that you'll find in my keto raspberry supreme formula, and medium chain triglycerides in the form of what's called MCT, medium chain triglyceride oils, all impact mood and behavior. That can affect your mood and behavior in a positive way. At least that's what the studies show, such that a person might be able to avoid medications for a mood or at least reduce doses. Now, I should say, if you are an individual on medication for mood problems, such as depression or anxiety, for example, you should not just stop those drugs and jump on these or any other nutrients. You need to work with someone who knows what they're doing, someone that knows both the positive and the negative drug interactions. There are certain nutrients that can adversely affect certain drugs. For example, if you're taking an antidepressant like Lexapro, which modifies serotonin levels, but then you take, let's say, melatonin and GABA, you might possibly increase your serotonin levels, creating a potentially very serious medical emergency called serotonin syndrome. Most of the time, however, nutrients are extremely safe, even when used wrong, and they are certainly far safer than their contemporary drug equivalents. For example, nutrition for mental health is far safer than pharmaceuticals for mental health. That's my belief, and that's my 27 years of experience. So for those of you joining us, we're just about to end. My name is Dr. Michael. Well, we've been talking about emotional contagion, which is a term that I coined, which basically means that emotions are contagious, just like disease. And we are affected by others' emotions just as we affect the emotions of others. And by changing our emotional state through conscious choice, through emotional adjustments, let's say, through changes in diet and exercise and the use of certain foods that match our needs biochemically and the use of specific nutritional supplements, we can gently, easily, and naturally motivate our neurochemistry in the brain. You know, next year I'm giving two professional talks on the topic of brain plasticity. It's called neuroplasticity. That term simply means that the brain and nervous system can and does remodel itself, whether you like it or not, and for better or for worse. So the person who has a stroke who recovers had positive neuro brain plasticity, where the brain was able to reorganize itself and fix the damaged areas. we have damage, again, in multiple sclerosis and neuropathies and dementia, all kinds of mental health disorders as well. And nutrition is absolutely essential for neuroplasticity changes. Now, I can tell you that I have been studying nonstop on the concept of neuroplasticity, which is what I always do before I teach to a professional audience. Because when you're teaching to several hundred practitioners from all over the world who are at the best and top of their fields, you really need to know your stuff. Now, I always knew about neuroplasticity. I always knew plenty about the use of natural health for promoting positive neuroplasticity. That's what we've been talking about the last 54 minutes. But I am always in awe of the amount of scientific literature there that's coming out all the time. So the way I work with people is they come to see me. They fill out my forms. We have a detailed conversation. We decide on what tests might be important for them. And then I do a nutrition and medical literature review to see what the very latest things are out there. And then we do something that is very unique and special to the whole blood detective approach. I compare people's chemistries to their own chemistries on a regular basis to make sure that what we're doing is actually working. We simply do not want someone to feel better, to rid themselves of their disease, and have the same messed up chemistry. This can happen. We need someone to actually feel better and for their chemistries to actually change. If you take melatonin or GABA and you're happier, but you don't change your autonomic nervous system test, or you don't fix your malabsorption, for example, or your blood pH, or your nutritional insufficiencies, your health problems are likely going to creep back. So the moral of the blood detective story is emotional contagion is real. It is something you can affect, that you can take a more active role in doing. And the way to do that is through the right biochemical tests and the right emotional training. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and you're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. For those of you who've got more concepts and show topics for me, like this topics, many of you ask me, Dr. Wald, talk about emotions. How does nutrition affect emotions? So I'm doing it. You asked a few weeks ago, how does radiation affect the body, and how can I reduce the adverse effects on my body of medical radiation with nutrition? And I gave you the answers. You asked me, I don't really understand the immune system. Can you teach me about the immune systems and what I can do to improve them, and how do I know I've done that? I gave you those radio shows. If you go to my website at www.integratednutritionny.com and go to the blog section, you'll see all of my shows. Now, my integratednutritionny.com website is linked to my blooddetective.com website, and the blog is the same. Blood Detective may be a little easier for you to remember. I've got over 60 videos there as well. For those of you who want to reach me, I'm happy to work with you. Give me a call. I'll answer the phone myself. I work with one patient at a time, one person at a time. We work in partnership. My number is 914-552-1442. Thank you so much for listening today, and please join me for the next edition of Ask the Blood Detective. Have a great weekend.
Show you.